One of the many things I love about Christmas is the decorations. Is anyone else like that? I don't like setting them up and I don't like tearing them down. I just like looking at them. I really do. Just looking around at decorations, there's one word that's common on Christmas decorations. The most common word is the word peace. It's everywhere. Peace. I mean, there's peace on coffee mugs and peace on ornaments and on wrapping paper and on stockings and on Christmas cards and decorative pillows that are only out for 30 days and then they go away for the next 11 months. There's peace everywhere. But it raises the question, during the Christmas season, why do we see peace everywhere but don't feel peace in our hearts? Why do we see the word peace everywhere? And for many of us, we don't have peace in our hearts. In fact, it was actually Jesus who promised us his peace. He said to his disciples in John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you." Not just any peace, he says, "but my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." This is a different kind of peace. This is only a peace that heaven can give. I don't give like the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is a word for somebody who's anxious and maybe a little bit afraid. Jesus promised us his peace. And yet for many people, it's more common to feel anxiety than peace, right? For many people in our culture today, it's more normal to be afraid than it is to have a heart at rest. And when you look at it, it doesn't take long out to figure out why it is, right? I mean, get your cell phone and scroll through, and immediately you're bombarded with just bad news everywhere. I mean, there's wars and rumors of wars, and I know there are many that are in the middle of a horrible situation right now. And there's all the stuff that should we be worried about? Should we be worried about the bird flu and the UFOs? I don't know. I mean, maybe. You read about it everywhere, and then, you know, you got inflation, you got interest rates, you worry about your financial future, about your health, and about your mental health, and whatever you just bought at the grocery store that you can't afford is probably even recalled just because, you know, this past week there's a food recall on shredded cheese. You got your crazy family to deal with and the holidays, and amidst all of this, you still have to find a place for the elf on the shelf. How do you do it all, right? And so Jesus said, he's given me his peace. Sometimes in all the craziness, I want to say, okay, Jesus, if you gave me your peace, either you forgot to give it to me, or you gave it to me and I forgot where I put it, right? It kind of raises the question, is peace, is true peace, is lasting peace, is that really a promise for today, for 2025? Is peace even possible for us? And what I want to do today is I want to tell you is not only is peace possible for you, but it is a promise that applies directly to your life, and it applies for you today. The title of today's message is Peace for Your Anxious Mind. Now, we're in a message series called The Arrival on Advent. And if you missed last week, Advent is a very rich time for those of us who are followers of Jesus. It's something that's been going on literally for centuries and centuries and centuries as people prepare their hearts to celebrate the first coming of Jesus. And we also celebrate and look forward to the second coming, the return of Jesus. And so for 4 weeks, we're preparing our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Last week, we lit the first candle. We lit the hope candle. Next week, we'll light the joy candle, which is actually a different color. You might find out why. On Christmas week, we'll light the love candle. And then the center candle represents Jesus. Today, for the second week of Advent, we're going to light the peace candle and believe that the Holy Spirit will give those of you that need some peace, some peace. Let's look at God's Word and let Him speak to us. For centuries before the birth of Jesus, people were awaiting the birth of a Savior. One day God's going to send the Messiah. He's going to send a Savior. And then when the time was just right, we read that last week in Galatians, at the exact right time, God sent His Son, and the angels announced the birth of Jesus. And the angels proclaimed in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest." And what else? "And peace on earth." Glory to God. We praise You, God. You're worthy of all praise. And as Jesus comes, the angel promised Jesus would come as peace on earth. This was not the first time that Jesus was described as one who would bring peace. In fact, if you go way, 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 way back, 700 years before Jesus was even born, in the Old Testament, something known as the Messianic prophecy, Isaiah prophesied 700 years before the birth of Christ. This is in Isaiah 9:6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." And the prophet gave Jesus 4 titles. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and He'll be called Prince of Peace. In other words, Jesus doesn't just promise us His peace, but He actually is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. That's who He is. Peace on earth is literally God's Son, Jesus, coming to earth. He is the Prince of Peace. In fact, in the Hebrew, Prince of Peace is made up of 2 Hebrew words. They're the words Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. What does Sar mean? Sar actually means the one in charge. It means the Lord. It means the chief or the general. It's Sar, kind of like a Roman Tsar, C-Z-A-R, or Julius Caesar. See what I did there with you? It's one who's in charge. There's Sar Shalom, and Shalom is a Hebrew greeting. It means rest. It means tranquility. It means wholeness. Shalom. This is a great word, is the fullness of peace. Who is Jesus? He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Shalom. If Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, what does that mean for you? What kind of peace does Jesus give? Well, the Prince of Peace gives us 2 types of peace. He gives us peace with God, and Jesus gives us the peace of God. What does He give us? He gives us, first of all, He gives us peace with God, and He gives us the peace of God. Peace on earth. It starts with peace with God. And this is really important. Now remember, around Christmas time, that's when, more than any other time, we talk about Jesus being born of a virgin, right? And conceived by the what? By the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Why does that matter? It matters more than you could imagine when it comes to having peace with God. If Jesus had been born, not conceived by the Holy Spirit and not by a heavenly father, but instead, if he had an earthly father, he would have inherited the sin nature of an earthly dad, because all of us have sinned. We've all been born as a sinner. That's why you never have to teach a kid to be selfish. Little baby says, mine, because we're born with a sin nature. Jesus was born of a virgin. Therefore, he didn't have a physical earthly father, but was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was conceived. Who was his father? It was the heavenly Father. So he didn't have a sin nature. Instead, he was born without sin. And the Holy Spirit dwells within him. That's why Jesus could be the perfect sacrifice, because he was born with no sin, because he never, ever sinned. And that's what Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5:11. Paul said that God made Jesus, here it is, who had no sin, to be sin for us. On the cross, Jesus took our sins. He was sinless. He was the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. He had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. If right now you're doing life outside of the will of God, maybe you don't have a relationship with God, and you don't feel at peace with God. Maybe you're like, I don't know where I stand with God. I mean, like, I'm trying to do good, but I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I hope I'm good enough, but I'm not really sure. If you don't have peace with God, let me try to explain to you the good news as simple as I can. Not using my words, but using words from God's word. I'll explain the good news this way. You can have peace with God because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus. That whosoever, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how dark your life has been, whosoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but have eternal life. Why did God send his Son? Not to condemn the world, but he sent Jesus to save the world. And the Word of God says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive all of your sins and to cleanse you from unrighteousness. Therefore, according to Romans 8:1, now therefore, if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, Scripture says, you're a new creation. The old is gone, and God will not hold your sins against you because of Jesus. You can have peace with God. You don't have to worry about where you stand with God. You don't have to fear what happens to you after this life. You can experience the forgiveness and grace of God. Then you can tell people around you, and one by one, your family members and loved ones can start coming to know Jesus. And you can have peace with God because Jesus was born of a virgin. conceived by the Holy Spirit, and had no sin, became sin for us. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he gives you peace with God. And not just peace with God, but he gives you the peace of God. Now, when Jesus promises you his peace, it's kind of a conditional promise. Kind of like maybe someone in your family might have said, hey, you can open a Christmas gift on Christmas Eve if you're good, right? That's kind of like you can do it, but there's a rule to it. There's kind of a condition to it. In Isaiah 26, Isaiah promises us the peace of God, but he shows us what we must do to experience the peace of God. Isaiah 26 says this, God will keep, this is a beautiful phrase, will keep in perfect peace all. Who? Not just whatever they want and live without God? No, no. You'll be kept in perfect peace all who trust in God, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. You'll be kept in perfect peace, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. Now, what does it mean to be kept in perfect peace? This is so rich. The word translated as peace is the word shalom, right? Shalom. In the original Hebrew text in Isaiah 26, to be kept in perfect peace is actually two words back to back. It's shalom, shalom. Back to back. Shalom, shalom. This is a theological term. Whenever you see words back to back in the Bible, it's called a Hebraic doubling. What does it mean? An Hebraic doubling is simply a linguistic technique in the Hebrew Bible in which a word is repeated to convey an intensified meaning. Shalom, shalom. What does it mean when it's together? What this word means is shalom, shalom, together. This Hebraic doubling, it means a perfect and unbroken peace. It means complete well-being, both inward and outward. Now, I don't know about you, but I want some shalom, shalom. This isn't just a double portion of peace. It's more than that. It's perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, you may say, if I have this perfect peace, that means I don't have any problems ever again. Not at all. Sometimes you actually have to have problems to realize you have peace in the middle of the problems, right? It doesn't mean that nothing's going to break. It doesn't mean that your kids are never going to fight. And it doesn't mean that your spouse is no longer going to get on your nerves. That's not what it means. What this perfect peace is much different than that. And what we'll discover as we get to know the Prince of Peace, we're going to discover that peace isn't found in the absence of problems, but peace is found in the presence of God. It's a perfect peace, and the Bible calls it, in the New Testament, a peace that goes beyond our human understanding. Some of you who've been walking with Jesus for a long time, you know this type of peace. Your marriage could be struggling, and it's difficult. And yet in the middle of it, you're seeking God, and you have a peace that God hears, the cries of your heart, and God's going to work it out. There are those of you that maybe you have a child that's walked away from the faith, walked away from the church. and is breaking your heart, but you're praying the hound of heaven after your kid, and you're believing that the Holy Spirit's going to do a work. And even though you don't see it, you have a peace and an assurance that God hears your prayers and God's working in the life of your child. It could be that it's difficult to pay the bills, and you're kind of nervous about it, but you faithfully, you tithe. You believe God honors your generosity. You believe that God is going to meet every one of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And you have a peace. How do you experience this perfect peace? I want to look again at Isaiah 26. This is so important. It says, God will keep in perfect peace. Who? Anybody? Everybody? All whose thoughts are fixed on Him. All whose thoughts are fixed. The word fixed is in Hebrew is a cool word. It's the word samak, like I'll samak you. Not really. It doesn't mean that. But samak, it means to lean on completely. It means to fully rest oneself. And so you see this picture. You'll be kept in perfect peace. All whose thoughts are leaning on God. You'll be kept in perfect peace. All whose thoughts are leaning on the truth of God's word. For example, we'll play a little game. When people fall, which way do they fall? What do you think? Down. That's probably a pretty good guess. They don't fall up. That's close. They fall down, okay? What I'm going to tell you is almost as bad as that, but I'm setting you up, okay? When people fall, which way do they fall? Research is conclusive. 100% of the time, they fall in the direction that they're leaning, okay? I know it's bad, but it's true. They always fall in the direction they are leaning. And so I would ask you this. Which way are you leaning? Are you leaning on the truth of God? Or are you leaning on your own ability, your own knowledge, your own wisdom? Because Proverbs 3:5, it's on your coffee mug. It says this, truth in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge God. Lean on Him, and He will make your paths straight. This is powerful. Don't lean on your own logic, your own wisdom, your own understanding. You can't get it all done. Lean on God's goodness. Lean on God's truth. And in all your ways, you acknowledge Him. The word in the Hebrew for acknowledge is the word yada, and it means to know. In all your ways, you know Him. In all the ways you seek Him. In all the ways you let His word be your truth. You lean on God's goodness. You lean on God's promises. You lean on God's strength. And in all your ways, you surrender to Him. And this is the paradox of peace. It's a surprise, and it's true. The peace of God is found in surrender, not control. It's surrender. Almost every time you find yourself anxious, afraid, overwhelmed, up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking it through and you're making your pros and your cons list, right? Trying to get it figured out, trying to manipulate. Hey, you know, she said this, and trying to make everything come out your way. Almost every time you're doing that, you are overestimating your ability to control, and you're underestimating the goodness of God. You're leaning on your own understanding, and you always fall in the direction you are leaning. It's a paradox. Peace is found in surrender, not control. So I would ask you right now, are you trying to control something that's not yours to control? We could stop right there and you could go home. You got your money's worth, okay? Seriously, are you trying to control something that's not yours to control? In fact, let's just do this. Let's just take a moment and ask God, am I trying to control something that's not mine? God, teach us to trust you. Teach us to lean on you, not on our own understanding. And God, show us any areas of our lives that we're getting in your way. We're trying to manipulate. Show us, God, and lead us to lean on you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're trying to control something that's not yours to control. A relationship, a person, a financial situation, a health situation, a kid, your spouse. I'm saying that in case you weren't paying attention. You can't change them. Only God can. Surrender, not control, and you'll be kept in perfect peace. All whose minds are fixed on God. All whose minds are leaning on God. And so you may say, okay, I like that, and I want that perfect peace. But what if I don't have peace? Fair question. Remember, Jesus is Sar Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Peace. This is so powerful and so personal. That means because he's the Lord of Peace, that means that Jesus can give peace and he can take it away. He's the Lord of Peace. And this is really important and strategic, because Jesus loves you and cares about every detail of your life. And so if you're in a really difficult situation and you're leaning on him and you're seeking his word and you're crying out to him, he can give you a supernatural peace that goes, you're like going, I don't know why I feel peace right now. I shouldn't. I mean, things are crazy. You know, that's peace from heaven. And he gives that. And those of you that have walked with him, you know that peace. But then there are other times when you're about to do something dumb and he removes peace. You're thinking, should I go into debt to buy this high-tech smart refrigerator with a built-in TV? And you just don't have a peace about it. Why? Because Jesus loves you and he's keeping you from paying 28% interest on a TV you'll never watch, right? You don't have a peace. Or you get a job offer in another city for more money, and you're going, this feels right. There's more money. But something deep down, I'd have to leave my church, my community, and it seems right, but I don't feel at peace about it. He's the Lord of Peace. You're like, I've been dating this person. And there's, you know, everyone tells me, you know, you've been going out so long and you should be moving forward. And you're just going, something doesn't feel right. Maybe it's the Lord of peace who gives it, and he also strategically removes it. Just as Jesus gives us peace to comfort us, he can withdraw it to refine us. He's the Lord of all peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And this is why this is such good news for everybody. God's peace is a promise. And it's a promise for you that through Jesus, you can have peace with God. And you can have the peace of God. The problem is the world's jacked it up big time. And the world and our culture today has kind of reduced peace to temporary fixes tied to entertainment, to self-care trends, to empty promises that always fall short of truly satisfying the deepest part of our soul. We're falling for a counterfeit. We're trading shalom, God's sacred, holy, unending peace, for shallow substitutes, and wonder why our hearts always feel fractured. Whenever peace is disconnected from the Prince of Peace, it becomes a false comfort that never, ever lasts. And that's why the words of Paul in the New Testament, and I've alluded to this verse multiple times, from a Roman prison, if you can imagine, he's chained up in prison, potentially going to die. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul pens these words to the believers in Philippi. And he says this, Philippians 4, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." For some of you, that's a whole word for you right now. Whatever you're anxious about, you're leaning on your own understanding. Don't be. Lean on God. Don't be anxious about anything, but no matter what you're going through, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you present your requests to God. You're leaning on God. God, I'm trusting you. God, I need you. God, I don't know what to do about this. God, I know that you're good. You're presenting your request to God. And when you do that, when you're leaning on God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you present it to God, it is the peace of God. It's not the world's peace. The world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's the peace of God. Because Jesus came, you can have peace with God and the peace of God. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace on earth. Peace with God and the peace of God. And peace, I promise you, is not found in the absence of problems. It's found in the presence of God. And it's a real peace available to you. Peace with God is through faith in Jesus. The peace of God is for those whose minds are fixed on Him. So if you're leaning on yourself today, lean this way with me, and let's depend on the power and the presence of God's truth.